You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. Don't forget, we got that brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 that we're giving away. There will be a question from all the stuff we said on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, today, and tomorrow. Tomorrow at 3:15 will be the pop quiz. And these, we'll tell you up front. Last week, we decided we made the questions too easy. These questions are going to be hard.
A lot harder.
If you win, you get a $100 gas card. Plus, there are only four keys. You get one of the four keys that could start the brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from my friend John Patterson at OC Mazda. So make sure you pay attention to everything we say.
It seems that we're going to get some word out of the bubble as to when this is all going to resume. But it seems like the players played this right, don't you think? I mean, they by sitting out and then by coming back and using their platform, I think they made a huge statement, and they're going to get to finish the playoffs. I don't think there's anything I would have done differently if you give me a 48-hour reset. How about you?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I think they handled it well. You know, here we sit. Talking about a guy named Jacob Blake who was shot 7 times in the back with his 3 little kids in the car in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Would we know the name Jacob Blake if it weren't for players in the NBA who have held this issue up and asked us to look at it? I don't think so. Do you think we know the name Jacob Blake?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I think they've done a good job of getting things first and foremost. By the way, if you want to weigh in on this, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. George, how do you pronounce that name on line one? Bringa in Brea. Hey, Bringa, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think that, you know, a lot of times we want to say that, you know, it takes training, but I think it's a lot more, you know, I think it's deeper than that. I think it's a little bit more subconscious. And I'd like to say it's as simple as, you know, these cops getting training, but it has to be a cultural shift. I think that it's going to take accountability. It's going to take, diversity and inclusion within the force. Mm-hmm. I think that, it's really just going to take just more than training. Because, I mean, how many times have we had instances in our own places of work where we're doing training, but it's sort of just like more of a formality, you know? So, I think that's one point. The other point I wanted to make is that, you know, kind of going back to the subconscious thing, I don't necessarily think it's a good cop, bad cop sort of deal. I think that, all of us have good and bad days, and beyond that, I just feel like, maybe that cop is a good guy. What is good guy anyway? But maybe he is, but, you know, it's...
Hey, if you're a bad guy for one day in that job, we cannot afford to have that guy have a bad day. Just cannot.
I agree with you. I just think that is it the case that he looked at this guy and, you know, said, oh, I'm going to kill a black guy? I don't necessarily think so. I think that it's a lot more subconscious. I think, yes, he gets tense. He sees a black man. But how do we address that issue? Is training really going to affect that and impact that? I don't think so.
That's a fair question.
That is a good question, because I think that There's no training that you would have needed to handle that Jacob Blake situation better. I mean, common sense dictates you don't shoot the guy 7 times in the back when you could have tackled him. I'm not sure training was the issue there.
Well, training, though, remember, is learning new ways to de-escalate situations like this. And whether it's the first time reminder, hey, we've changed our use of force policies. Here's how we did it. I mean, to me, it is about training. That's our only chance, because what she's describing is a subconscious tenseness that comes from a white police officer when they're dealing with a black subject. And that the name for that subconscious tenseness that comes up is racism. That's just racist.
Yeah, Bringa, thank you for the phone call.
Thanks, Bringa.
Here's Ryan in Pacoima. Hey, Ryan, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, Mason and Ireland. I love you guys. There should be a legal defense team set up for poor African Americans, because unfortunately, whenever a white privileged person gets pulled over for no reason, we tend to sue. We tend to make complaints, and there should be a legal defense team for that. Also, the judges can be corrupt if you don't have enough evidence. You look at O.J. Simpson, okay? There was a lot of evidence against him, and he was found not guilty. And then on the other hand, when you don't go to court with a lawyer, you could basically get screwed by a cop, because cops have been known to lie in court. So it's not just about African Americans. We all tend to get screwed, but they also need to shine a light on the judges.
Well, there's nothing that the judges could have done for Jacob Blake. I mean,
there is something though now that a district attorney can do.
Right.
This falls now to the Department of Justice, to the Wisconsin State Attorney General, and to the district attorney for Kenosha, Wisconsin. They're the ones. And by the way, you know, our district attorney, Jackie Lacey, has been in Los Angeles County, has been accused of having the complete and total support of the police union, which effectively protects them to some degree in the event of an ugly incident like this. That's why the Black Lives Matter people have pushed for Jackie Lacey to be defeated in that election on November the 3rd. Yeah, we always talk about voting, right? November the 3rd, and we know there's a really big vote, and we don't get into that much here because half you guys are pissed off, and half you guys, you know, you all have your different opinions. I don't want to do politics on the show. But November 3rd also includes things like voting for Los Angeles District Attorney. And, you know, one of the things that I do, John, and I don't know if you do this as well, but when I'm going to vote, you vote absentee, right?
I do. I vote mail-in, yeah.
Vote mail-in. So do you know everything that you vote for? Like, have you looked at it and studied it and figured out what the best candidate is?
I normally study it the week of the election. I'll read the, you know, they send it, the outlines, and they give you a point of view from each side, and I'll read it. But I normally don't get to it until like a week before the election.
But there are other votes that you will make that will have an effect beyond the presidential vote. And you should look at, if you're going to vote for district attorney, you should look at the Jackie Lacey race and make your decision on that. Because she has been targeted by Black Lives Matter for being too much in bed with the police union in Los Angeles.
Here is Anthony in Palmdale. Hey, Anthony, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Good, Anthony.
You know, I've been listening to your show. I'll be honest, I don't listen very much, and I don't know you guys personally I have no bias in this whole thing, but I just want to say, man, I just think it's a perspective thing, and everybody's got the wrong perspective. We just need to, we just need to take a look at this whole situation, take a step back and just take the color off our skins for a second, and just, we need to look at this situation, you know, give it a couple days, and justice will be served one way or the other, you know.
Let me ask you, though, why has there not been an arrest in the Breonna Taylor case?
I'll be honest with you. I couldn't even tell you the details about that. So for me to speak about that, I would be...
Right. No, I understand. But I guess the point is justice will be served. Justice is not always served. And that's the issue.
And I understand that. I do. And man, I've been through it so much times. And I've been there, done it with the cops. I've been... screwed over by them. But I'll tell you what, man, I've also sat down at the table with them. You know, we're not perfect. We're not a perfect people. The human race is not perfect. I don't care what color you are. And sometimes our compassion level right now in this country, man, it's missing. We have no.
But here's the thing, man. You've got to be perfect when you're dealing with human lives. You can't have a bad day. You can't accidentally shoot a guy 7 times when you should have tased him or you should have hit him with a nightstick or whatever that is. You can't afford to have a bad day.
I understand that, but that's kind of opinion. You know, nobody was there. We weren't there. We weren't in that.
We've seen it. It's on video.
It's on tape.
No, I understand, but you didn't see the whole thing from start to finish.
No, actually, I saw both sides of it. There are two videos. There's one from the passenger side, and there's one from the driver's side. It's all there.
By the way, Anthony, is there any video you could see or any details you could get that would make it right to shoot a guy 7 times in the back?
Absolutely not. I'll tell you what, I'm not a police officer, but I'll tell you what, I will say this. I've been in that situation, and when you don't comply sometimes, I'll tell you what, man, it just makes it worse. It really does. I don't care what color you are.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't have used force to detain Jacob Blake. What I am saying is they used excessive force, and they didn't need to shoot him 7 times in the back.
You're right. And I would
I think
love
that's
to see
what
like
people
a,
are arguing.
Hit him with a beanbag or something. You know, I get it, man. I get it.
There are a lot of different things they could have done. Thanks, man, for the phone call.
Thanks for the call.
Here's Rick.
By the way, I hope he starts listening more, and I hope someday we get a chance to meet him personally. I think we'd get along well.
Here's Rick in Orange County. Hey, Rick, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hello,
hey, Rick.
Hello, Steve and John. I'm a listener. I've been listening to your show for a long time. Thank you for all the work you're doing. You know, I think with all this conversation, I want to encourage you to not use your platform to allow people to say things that they shouldn't be saying. There was a caller that was on your platform that said black people have a bad rep. You know, and there was another caller, or I think one of you said, black people, the cop freaks out when they see black people.
Well, that's what a police officer called in and told us.
I do think the question we need to answer before we can move forward is, why do people freak out when they see black people?
Yep.
And it's partially because of systemic racism and systemic. There are things that have been ingrained in our minds about how bad black people are. I know 20 black people, and none of them have been to jail. None of them have been arrested before. So the question we have to answer is, why have black people been painted as bad people immediately you see them? And until we're able to resolve that, we're not going to get past this.
Right.
I don't see you, Steve, or John, and totally say, hey, you're white, so you're a bad person.
Right.
You know, I don't see you and say, hey, you're white, so you are, you're just a bad person. I don't say that. But people say that about black people. And until we're able to answer what has been done to tarnish the image of black people, we're not going to get past this answer, regardless of what we do. And it's the same thing for my Mexican friends. We all were very upset when the president said, they bring their thugs, they bring their drug dealers. All the Mexicans I know are not drug dealers. None of them have been to prison before. I would not accept such a language. And I think that's how people start being tainted and painted. So future generations will look at Mexicans and say, oh, all they do is bring drugs.
And right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I was trying to hit on there is that there are some, and Bo's phone call is the one that sticks in my mind, the police officer from Corona, I think, saying that he feels like there is a different attitude from a police officer when they pull over a white guy as opposed to when they pull over a black guy.
Yeah, that was the guy from Newport Coast. I think, and by the way, Rick, the reason we allow varying viewpoints on the show is because that's what's out there. That's why we have a problem. You should hear different points of view other than your own. We're never just going to put people on the show that agree with us. I mean that it just number one, it's not a good show, and number two, it's what's out there is part of the problem. You know, part of the problem is, as Doc Rivers pointed out yesterday, there are some people that just don't treat black people with the proper amount of respect.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
until those people get shouted down, it's just not going to change.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland. What is going on? Thank you for being out there. We really do appreciate it. It's a strange time in sports. By the way, the Dodgers are up 7-0 now on the Giants. First game of a doubleheader. They were one of the games that was postponed last night in light of, I guess, what started with the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday and their protest. Not choosing to play yesterday, followed by two more NBA games that were not played yesterday. No NBA today. Three baseball games postponed last night. Two more being postponed tonight. No NHL hockey today. They are postponing all games today. Multiple NFL teams have called off practice and engaged in peaceful protest all over the shooting of Jacob Blake. The man in Kenosha, Wisconsin, who was shot 7 times in the back while he was getting into his car. A tragic situation. By the way, he's paralyzed from the waist down, and they don't know if he will be able to recover the use of his legs.
By the way, Dodgers sat out last night as part of this protest. Mookie Betts announced before the game that he did not want to play. Clayton Kershaw lined up behind him. The Major League Baseball scheduled a doubleheader today to make up for it, and they started that at 1 o'clock. It's almost over. It's a 7-inning doubleheader. The Dodgers are leading 7-0, and they'll play game 2 after this one's over. Mace, last night, okay, so keep in mind they were supposed to have these 3 games.
Yep.
And one of the games was going to be done by Chris Webber. So he was in the arena getting ready to do, I think it was the Laker game, with Brian Anderson. And Weber was incredibly candid and thoughtful. Here's part of what he said last night when they threw to him on TNT, asking him his thoughts on the games being canceled.
If not now, when? If not during a pandemic. And countless lives being lost. If not now, when? That's all I just want to hear from the rest of the night while everybody's pontificating and thinking and soapboxing and all of that. We know nothing is going to change. We get it. Martin Luther King got shot and risked his life, Mega Evers. If we've seen this and all of our heroes constantly taken down, we understand it's not going to end. But that does not mean, young men, that you don't do anything. Don't listen to these people telling you don't do anything because it's not going to end right away. You were starting something for the next generation and the next generation to take over. Do you have to be smart? Yes. Do you have to make sure that you have a plan? Yes. Do you have to be articulate about that plan? Yes. All of those things. But that's what you're going to do. They're professionals. They know how to be the best of themselves. And so I applaud it. I applaud it because it is the young people. It is the young people leading the way. And I applaud them. I keep hearing the question like, what's next? What's next? Well, you got to plan what's next. You have to figure out what's next. I'm very proud of the players. I don't know the next steps. Don't really care what the next steps are because the first steps are to garner attention. And they have everybody's attention around the world right now. Then leadership and others will get together and decide the next steps. So we know it won't end tomorrow. We know that there's been a million marches and nothing will change tomorrow. We know vote. We keep hearing vote. Everybody vote. But I'm here to speak for those that are always marginalized. Those that live in these neighborhoods where we preach and tell them to vote and walk away.
Obviously very candid, and I think he makes an excellent point. He talked about how you don't always know what the next step is. Like,
sure.
I heard a lot of people may say today, well, you know, if they give up the platform or what are they going to do now, blah, blah, blah. What they did yesterday was impactful.
Sure.
They started a movement.
But I think they did the right thing.
by deciding to continue the season. Because
I do too.
Who knows how the spotlight shines if everybody goes home? Does that accomplish anything? And I would argue that their most impact, the impact that they can have, is by continuing to play these games, by continuing to raise issues like the shooting of Jacob Blake, and to fight for criminal justice reform, and to fight for social equality. This is their best chance, is to do it in this bubble. So I'm glad they stayed, and I'm glad they're playing.
And the other point that I thought Weber made that I didn't hear anybody else make was that it's pretty amazing that NBA players, you heard the attorney general in Wisconsin say the NBA players had done more to advance the cause in one day than a lot of senators and congresspeople had done over the previous 3 days. And I do find it interesting that this, Mace, this was not the league. This was not the owners. This
right.
was the players. This was a bunch of guys between the ages of 20 and 35 that just said, we've had it. We're sick of it. We're not putting up with it anymore. This wasn't done from any type of executive level.
Right.
And look at the ripple effect it had. Just because you mentioned it earlier. One team, Milwaukee. I mean, so much so that Milwaukee was actually criticized for not letting the other teams know what they were doing.
Right.
But one team decided not to take the court. It forced Orlando not to take the court. Then that forced OKC and Houston. That forced the Lakers. Then the Dodgers did it. Then the Brewers. I think the Brewers went first.
Yeah, Brewers did it, yeah.
You know, it's pretty extraordinary how one group of people, and it's the old West Wing line I always steal. Never doubt that a small group of committed citizens can change the world, because it's the only thing that ever has. This was 12 guys in an NBA locker room.
Yep.
And look what happened as a result of those 12 guys. It rippled, and it just caused a sports earthquake.
Yeah, no question. All right, coming up next for you, the great George Karl will join us, longtime NBA head coach, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It is the day after, I like the word you use, John, earthquake, an earthquake in professional sports.
Yeah, it's kind of a sports earthquake.
As the NBA, it starts with the Milwaukee Bucks, then two more NBA games, three Major League Baseball games, five MLS games, three WNBA games, all postponed over the fury of the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and a push for social justice, resolving social inequality, solving the issue of police brutality, all of that stuff. Players have gotten involved in that in a huge way in the last 24 hours.
And joining us right now is one of our favorite guys. We haven't talked to him in a while. He is the sixth most winningest coach in NBA history. George Karl won more than 1,100 games
wow.
as a head coach. And it's great to have you on, Coach. Let me start with this. How's your health? For people who don't know, George is a two-time cancer survivor. But how are you feeling these days, Coach?
I feel good. I wake up every morning to go yoga, golf.
Good for you.
Nice. I grind, do something very well. I'm probably as skinny as I've been since probably back in Montana Golden Nugget days.
Wow, congratulations. That's great. Yeah. I've gained all the weight that you've lost, man. I've gained all the weight that you lost.
All right.
So, Coach, give us your reaction to what's happened in the NBA in the last 24 hours, starting with the Milwaukee Bucks.
You know, I'm proud of what has happened. I think you know, what happened a couple months ago in Minneapolis, I think, shocked the hell out of me and made me go back and talk to a lot of my black friends and black players and black associates. And I believe that, you know, it's time for us. And when I say for us, I'm talking more towards the white people, to realize that we have suppressed and been very, very unjust and very, very mean to the blacks, to Native Americans, to women in our history. And our country is based upon equality and freedom for all and liberty for all. And black people don't feel safe always in our country because of the suppression that we've put on them. So I'm proud of the NBA. I think I'm proud of everybody else. The other sports that have jumped in, I'm hopeful that maybe sports can be a leader of this movement and of consistently bringing forth what we need to do in a united way. I think our country, I think we all know, is somewhat divided by politics today. But I think when I saw a couple months ago the reaction to George Ford, I forget his last name, but the reaction was, we were tired. We were tired of all this. And it's time to wake up, stand up, and be strong about being anti-racist.
George Karl is our guest. And Coach, let me ask you this. As a matter of fact, a lot of the guys coaching in the games we watched today are former associates of George, including Terry Stotts, the guy the Lakers are trying to knock out. Terry was one of George's assistants for a while. Coach, if you were coaching now, I would imagine that's a pretty unique challenge because basketball isn't the most important thing in the minds of some of these players. They elected this morning to decide to go ahead and finish and play in the bubble. Do you, if you were coaching one of these teams now that was still playing, do you just try and get right back to basketball? Do you have an open discussion with these guys about what they're feeling? Or how do you coach with this elephant in the room that is obviously more important than basketball to a lot of your players?
I think in today's world of what's going on with, you know, with opinions and certain things, with whatever you want to argue, systemic racism or police brutality or social injustice, whatever part of it, listening is extremely important. And I'm saying that so much because I'm a 69-year-old white person that now I realize I've had biases. I grew up with biases. And I have probably said things that offended black men and black women. I know I have a son-in-law that's a black man. And I know I have offended him on how I've said things in the wrong way. And I just think, you know, I think having a conversation all the time, we need to stay in the conversation because the only way we're going to learn is through talking about what we feel. Because this is not, you know, it's not a monetary thing. It's how we're making people feel. And I think communication is so important in that. Listen, learn, love, and change, and be supportive and empathetic towards each other.
George Karl is with us, longtime NBA head coach, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So you talk about listening, which is obviously a huge part of what we all need to do. I'm curious from you, there was a time when NBA players, professional athletes, refused to take a stand or chose not to take a stand on social issues because they felt it would hurt their brand, their advertising, their sponsorship, all that stuff. What do you think's changed?
Well, I think one, the players, yeah, they're all searching for a brand, but I think a lot of players are trying to be good leaders. They're trying to speak and help what they feel in their heart is that where we have to change. So I think a little bit of what you're seeing is strong young people who are making a lot of money want to be more of a leader in their community, a leader in social issues, a leader in politics. And I think it's the right way to go. You know, in the past, I understand why they kept quiet. But in today's world today, I think it's important that we hear and listen to our athletes, but also listen to society, what it's trying to say to us. And I think what happened 2 months ago was society was changed. We're tired of how we've been living, how we've been treating the black people of America. And I agree with them. I think it's sad a little bit. Our history has had a lot of sad stories. It's now time to get better. It's time to learn, wake up, get better, get stronger, and unite.
We're talking to George Karl, one of the best basketball coaches who's ever been in the league, won more than 1,100 games. And, George, I don't want to be dismissive of the main issue that we've been talking about the whole time we've been on the phone with you up here, but I did want to ask you a couple of basketball questions since we have you here. We're the Lakers station. I do all the Laker games. The last game they played, they looked pretty unbeatable because everything went right. And then the Clippers came out and played a game where they looked unbeatable. As you watch this thing play out in the bubble, do you think one team, and it could be Milwaukee where you used to coach, it could be Toronto who's looked good, do you think one team looks like the team to beat, or is it still up in the air?
Well, I have a strong bias towards the Western Conference, so I think LA and the Clippers and the Lakers are, I mean, they're when they play like they played, as you said in their last game, they're gonna get to meet each other soon. But the East Coast is better than people think it is. We've always kind of liked to call them the JV team. Toronto, Milwaukee, and Boston aren't JV basketball teams. They're pretty damn good basketball teams, and Miami's pretty good too. I don't think Miami will get out of the East, but I think those other three teams, one of them is going to get out of the East. And I think a little bit of the West Coast right now is how beat up whoever gets out, the Lakers or the Clippers or someone else surprises, who gets out of the West, how beat up they're going to be by having to win probably a very difficult semifinal and then a difficult final in the conference.
So it sounds like you think five teams could potentially win the championship. Toronto, Boston, Milwaukee, Lakers, and Clippers, right?
Those are five that I would rank in there. And again, I think Toronto has been underrated and underlooked. I think
Me
they're
too.
Better than people think they are, and they got star power more than people. They don't have a star name yet, but Siakam and Gasol and Lowry – and they play the right way. They learned a lot from what happened last year. So I think they've moved in there. I think Boston with Kemba and Walker seems like he's getting a part of their personality and being a leader of that team. And Milwaukee's got Giannis, who's next to LeBron, might be the best player in basketball.
We're talking to George Karl. George, this is a weird question, but what has happened to defense in the bubble? You used to be a defensive coach that stressed defense, and these teams are averaging like the Lakers have put the clamps on some people, but it's sporadic. Most of these teams are playing minimal defense, and most of these teams are averaging like 120 a game. What's going on with the defense in the bubble?
I don't have that answer, man. I've said the same thing. You must have been in some of my conversations, because almost every NBA coach I talk to, I go, are we ever going to be able to win a game with our defense ever again? It's become an offensive league. The ball goes anywhere it wants to go on the perimeter. The three ball has been proven to be probably an easier shot than we thought it was ever going to be. There's so many guys making threes now. It's amazing. I mean, we have games where we have 40 threes go in the basket.
Right.
And I think the game has gotten really fast and in open court, which I like. But I also like defense. And I still think the champion is going to be part of their personality is going to be their at least a good defensive team, maybe not a great defensive team. And I think Lakers might have a little advantage there. Clippers have always talked about their defense, but they haven't gotten there yet in my mind. I have not seen that many great defensive games out of the Clippers. And I think in the East, you got Milwaukee that protects the basket as good as anybody in basketball. And Toronto, I think, play a very good defense. And Boston does, too. So I think that the champions of the five teams we talked about, they all have a little bit of a defensive dimension, and I think it's going to become more important in the next two rounds, next two and three rounds.
Well, listen, Coach, we appreciate you coming on very much. Appreciate your time and your perspective. Thank you.
Okay, guys, enjoy your day.
Thank you, George. All right, thank appreciate you. Your time. Yeah, it's interesting. He played for Dean Smith at North Carolina.
Yes.
And he was early in Coach Smith's tenure there. And so, you know, George has been around high-profile black players his whole career. And to hear him say that he's had, I guess you would call it a revelation in the last few months with the death of George Floyd and with Jacob Blake, and he's had to go back and examine how he treats black people. That's the hope, Mace,
yeah.
That people that have always thought one thing will re-examine, take a look, and change their behavior. What you just heard there in that interview was what we're hoping happens to everybody. And I applaud George for admitting it. I thought that was very revealing.
Yep. All right. Coming up, we'll sneak in a couple more of your calls. Then we've got crosstalk with George and LZ. Wanted to touch on this. Dodgers beat the Giants 7-0 in the first game of a doubleheader. A.J. Pollock hit his sixth home run of the year. Cody Bellinger, 2-for-4, an RBI. They managed 11 hits. Mookie was 1-for-3 with a walk. And Clayton Kershaw was the story. Went 6 innings, allowed 4 hits, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. And here's an amazing stat I just picked up from having Spectrum Sportsnet LA on. Clayton Kershaw, when he gets 4-plus runs of support, is 121-1.
Say that again.
When Clayton Kershaw gets 4-plus runs of support, he is 121-1.
121 wins and one loss?
Yes.
That's insane. That is the sauciest stat of the week.
It is pretty saucy. It is pretty saucy. I stole it right off.
121-1? Can that possibly be right? I have watched at least 3 playoff games where he's lost like 9-8. Right?
121-1.
Well, I can think of 2 right off the top of my head. The Cardinals one that you were at and the one in Houston you were at.
Yeah, he didn't. He
but
got
those aren't regular.
Plus
those aren't regular
four.
Season games, so that,
right.
That wouldn't
this,
affect the stat.
This stat isn't saucy. It's incorrect.
No. It could still be correct. Those are postseason games. Postseason games don't figure into that.
Right.
And remember, we've argued for years that Clayton Kershaw is the best regular season pitcher in Dodger history. His regular season numbers are better than Koufax.
Yeah.
It's just that Koufax in the postseason was unbelievable, and players get judged by the postseason.
Yep. All right, we'll let you know that there's a second game of a doubleheader coming up. It looks like it's going to be a bullpen game for the Dodgers. No starter named. San Francisco is going to throw Kevin Gausman as the Dodgers improve to 23-9 with that first half of the doubleheader. More of your calls coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. 710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It was a historic or an historic day in sports yesterday, as the Milwaukee Bucks announced that they were going to boycott their game against the Orlando Magic. That would have been their game 5. Orlando joined them. Then 2 more games were postponed, including Lakers-Blazers. There were 3 Major League Baseball games postponed. There 5 MLS games were postponed, and 3 WNBA games were postponed, all raising awareness for the tragedy of what happened to Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin on Sunday afternoon.
And Lindsay just sent me an update of the games that have been canceled today. Rockies D-backs postponed, A's Rangers postponed, Red Sox Blue Jays postponed, Phillies Nationals postponed, Orioles Rays postponed, Twins game with the Tigers postponed. So it's not over in terms of postponements. All the NHL postponed today. So it's continuing. Just one team, the Milwaukee Bucks, not taking the court yesterday, has started a movement. And we think we're going to get the NBA back over the weekend. Could be as early as tomorrow, more likely to be Saturday or Sunday. But, Mace, they lit a fire that grew all throughout professional sports. Just one team, 12 guys in a room. So hats off to the Milwaukee Bucks, who promoted this awareness better than any individual company could have. It just started. It just jumped at least across four sports. It jumped across baseball, hockey. It was already in basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, all following suit. The NFL issued a statement today. The Ravens have just issued a really powerful statement denouncing racism. I mean, Milwaukee really started something here.
I want to throw in a nugget here. If you're a Dodger fan, Gavin Lux is getting his first start of the year in the second half of this doubleheader in San Francisco, and Caleb Ferguson is going to at least start that game. Ferguson has been fantastic this year, so he's going to start. It could turn into a bullpen game. Clayton Kershaw won the first one going away.
Right, and but we're going to get LZ and Sedano in here in a second. But I was starting to think about what George Karl was saying. We just interviewed the former coach, NBA coach, who won more than 1,100 games in the league.
Yeah.
Do you think people realize this isn't a black problem? This is a white problem.
Yeah, well, he used the key word, the key phrase, word, that I think we all should aspire to. Not that I'm not racist. It's I'm anti-racist. He used the term anti-racist, and I think that's what more and more white Americans are becoming. It's not just that they're not racist. It's that they're anti-racist.
Well, and there's a difference. You know, I think most of us, most white people, think of themselves as not racist. But if you're anti-racist, that means you'll call it out when you see it. That means you'll be part of the solution. It's different than just privately not being mean to black people. You have to call it out when somebody else is.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we will take a break. Coming up next for you is Crosstalk. George will be here. LZ will be here. By the way, I wanted to say this, too. Thank you very much for being out there. It's an unusual day. We took a lot more calls than we would normally take, but we wanted to allow people to present alternative opinions on what's taking place in the NBA and in professional sports and the situation in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Tomorrow, we anticipate as we will have a schedule of games. We will return to focusing on those games. Lakers-Blazers will have a Game 5, a potential closeout game. We know that. It will be, we think that playoff basketball will continue as soon as Saturday. As soon as Saturday. They're meeting to discuss it right now. But tomorrow's going to be a much more normal show.
Yeah, and there could be NBA tomorrow. They haven't announced it, but it's looking like Saturday.
Yeah, so tomorrow we'll get into a more normal groove. But we appreciate all of you who called and all of you who were part of the show today. All right, coming up next for you is Crosstalk. George Sedano and LZ Granderson will join us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
ESPN, Mason in Ireland, LZ Granderson joining us. LZ, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing like everyone else, you know, just kind of plucked through. How you guys are?
LZ, everything's good here. The players made the decision. Yesterday was obviously a day to sit out, and there was a lot of discussion on whether or not it was right to play or not play. This morning they made a decision to play. In your opinion, is it the right one?
It's the right one because it's the decision that the players made. Look, I don't think it's my place to tell the players what they should or should not do to express themselves within the realms of their profession in regards to what's going on. So just as I said that if they thought the players should protest, they should protest. I feel that if the players have taken a vote and agree they should play, then they should play.
George, what about you?
I would echo those sentiments. What I would also add is, look, the players aren't dumb here.
they understand, much like there was this conversation, you know, a few months ago, it seems like now, with Kyrie Irving trying to get a group together to say they shouldn't play. At the end of the day, if they did that, there could be real financial and economic ramifications for everyone in the league, including the players. The owners have two opt-outs this offseason and next offseason to tear up the current collective bargaining agreement. And that would be a terrible thing for players, particularly during a pandemic, because there's going to be real, real financial risk there if that's the case. And I think that that has to play at least a part in it, and I believe it did.
So I believe – go ahead, Elsie.
I was going to say, but I would add that in the history of social justice movements, people lose money all the time. Now, I recognize the amount of money we're talking is differently, but if you're a working class person and you decide to participate in the bus boycott in Alabama and through the South, it doesn't matter if it's millions or not. It's everything that you have. So
right,
risking money is not new.
No, of course. But what I would add to that is this, is that, and you and I talked about this on the show just the last couple of days, LZ, which was particularly yesterday, that, you know, and John and Steve and I have had this conversation too, is that money makes the world go round in this case. And if you're getting paid and you've got millions to back it up and you've got billionaires on your side, it's easier to get things accomplished and to do the Voting Rights Act that or the voting right legislation that LeBron is trying to enact and pass and help people the way that they're trying to help. It's a lot easier to do that with money.
Guys, I mentioned that the Baltimore Ravens have issued a statement, and some people are calling this statement the most aggressive statement issued by a professional team yet. Here's part of it. It says, though we cannot right all the wrongs of our country's history, we can, and then it goes into some bullet points, and the first two are, arrest and charge the police officers responsible for Breonna Taylor's killing and the shooting of Jacob Blake. Demand that Senator Mitch McConnell bring the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act of 2020 to the Senate floor for a vote.
Amen. Amen.
End qualified immunity. Require body cameras. Ban chokeholds and no-knock warrants. Hold police accountable in court. Establish a framework to prohibit racial profiling at federal, state, and local levels. And this is just part of the statement. LZ, is this significant, or is a statement just a statement unless it's followed by action?
Well, statements are always just statements unless they follow by action. But I will say this, by having specific examples of what the players want to see happen, you at least answer the questions of what do you want. And you're not trying, and my buddy Tim Frank, you know, always says, you know, let's not try to boil the ocean. And essentially what he means is, let's not try and tackle this huge thing all at once. Let's identify what we can handle right now. And I'm glad to see a statement is doing exactly that.
Yeah, George. I mean, he raised an interesting point, too. The House of Representatives did pass a George Floyd police reform bill that has not been taken up by the Senate. And I think part of this, LZ, is we're looking at these players and the owners that they play for, these billionaires, they don't just have money. They're putting money forward. But they also have wide political connections. They can get things done in states, in cities. They have power, real power, that players, frankly, don't have. How do you harness the owners to be able to push the agenda forward?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to identify the owners who agree with the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
If you have owners who agree with the agenda, then work with those who want to see the change that you aspire to see happen. You can't become obsessed with trying to convince everyone to join your team, because it's not going to happen. I wanted the Kawhi to be a Laker. He's a Clipper. It is what it is. What you can do, though, is work with those who agree with you, who sign up with you, and trust. Through my reporting, through your reporting, through, you know, George's reporting, we all know there are enough owners who agree that significant changes need to be happening on a legislative level to work with those individuals. I'm not obsessed with trying to convert those who don't want to be converted or who have already dedicated themselves to a different perspective. I'm more obsessed with working with those who are sympathetic to what we're trying to accomplish. And I say we because I believe that anyone who believes in being anti-racist is all on the same team. I'm anti-racist, so I'm on the same team as, say, Steve Ballmer. So I say we side with those individuals who want to eradicate this and worry about the individuals who don't care, who are indifferent, or worse yet, who are fighting against you later.
You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles.
George, you, for people who don't know, George is on The Jump a lot. Did you watch The Jump today, Sedano?
I did catch some of it, yep.
Okay, so they got into an interesting subject that I'm not sure how I feel about, but I figured it'd be interesting to talk about it here. Rachel Nichols, who hosts that show, brought up the idea that anyone can support whoever they want politically and financially. And she was talking about owners. But the NBA doesn't have to do business with them. In other words, for example, the Timberwolves are for sale right now. And Rachel suggested if you found that somebody who wanted to buy the Timberwolves wasn't supportive of the agenda that the players are putting forward now, you don't have to let them buy the team. How do you guys feel about that? George, I'll start with you. It's sticky because we have freedom of, you know, we have the freedom to support whoever we want here. But she makes an interesting point. It's a private business. You can pick and choose who the owners are. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you about one NBA owner who tried to buy a Major League Baseball team. Mark Cuban tried to buy the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they didn't let him into the club because they didn't like a lot of things about him, probably including his politics, if I understand correctly. So it wouldn't be the first time that a sports entity would do something like that. And what I would say is, much like a team, John, right? When we look at a team, what do we say? The best teams in sports are always aligned from the top all the way down to the bottom, right? Whether it's the Lakers or the Patriots or the Spurs or the Yankees or whoever, everyone's in line, right? Everyone believes the same things. And I don't think I think these sports entities should be treated similarly. I don't think that there should be much of a difference in that regard.
Well, let's throw one out. Rich DeVos, the owner of the Orlando Magic, is a far right guy.
Well, Rich DeVos passed away. Mace.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who
is the Suns? The Suns.
The Suns. The Suns.
Yeah.
Own the team and
so
and have got a very have had a very very entrenched position on the right. Now you can't do anything about that. You're entitled to have that that view. You're entitled to have those feelings. You're entitled to it. It is uncomfortable. It raises an uncomfortable conversation, I think, with players.
Well, this goes on with the Cubs, too, guys. The Chicago Cubs, they're actually divided within the family. Like, they're owned by the Ricketts family, and a couple of the people at the top of the Cubs hierarchy are extreme right-wing, and a couple of the people that are also in the Ricketts family are on the left. So they've got both sides of it. But, LZ, what do you think? I mean, should the NBA pay attention to what causes owner support and hold it against them if it's not in line with the players?
Well, I would say, first of all, in your example with the Cubs and that dynamic, I know fairly well. I know Laura Ricketts, who I guess you would assume would be the left aspect of that dynamic.
Yeah.
I will simply say this, that what Rachel proposed is a slippery slope in the sense of, it's always good to be in power when it comes down to deciding who you're going to censor and restrict. It's never good when you're not in power. So just because the temperature is to your liking today doesn't mean it's going to be to your liking tomorrow.
Well,
So I don't necessarily like the notion of combing through someone's political leanings as being the main determining factor about membership to this particular club. However, what I would say, if any of their activities are in conflict with the bylaws of your league, or worse yet, state or federal law, then I would say you could definitely use that as your North Star in deciding ownership. But just because someone votes for a candidate you don't like, or someone campaigns for a candidate you don't like, that's not enough. But if they're out saying things like, for my example, same-sex marriage should be illegal, Well, the Supreme Court has a ruling, and state laws have a ruling. So this person is holding a view that's against federal law. And that, to me, is enough.
George, what were you going to say?
What I was going to say was the way I interpreted that conversation, because, look, there are plenty of guys in the NBA right now that are not considered.
Who are right or lean right.
Right, exactly. Tilman Fertitta comes to mind immediately, the owner of the Houston Rockets. I mean, he was literally at a function with the president just a couple of weeks ago, or, you know, I guess right before the bubble. I think that the way I took that conversation is specifically when it comes to supporting causes that endanger players' health and safety. And
what would an example of that be?
I think that an example of that would be that are not against police brutality, right? I think that's a prime example of what we're talking about here, right? And criminal justice reform and things like that. And I think that those two in particular, but the first, more importantly, I think lends itself to discussing race and racism. And I think that isn't a high bar, I think, to clear. You know what I mean?
No, it's not. LZ nailed it here, which is you can't comb through every background and say that guy should be an owner, that guy shouldn't be an owner.
I remember, you know, I have a condo in Miami, okay?
And
I had to go to a, you know, when I bought this condo back in 2005, I had to go in front of a co-op board. Yep. And they combed through a lot of stuff before I was accepted into the building. So I don't see this as any different in that regard.
Yeah, but comb through. You're a Republican. You're a Democrat.
But they can comb through. Do you support, police brutality, right? Like I think that, or causes that support that. Like I think that's not. I don't think that's a huge reach.
I don't think it's a huge reach. I would just be careful in terms of how you approach this level of scrutiny, because what you don't want to have happen is find yourself on a subject matter that doesn't side with your viewpoint and you find yourself on the outside looking in. You know, being black.
Right. So it tilts, and all of a sudden you're in the minority.
Exactly. And that's the thing that, you know, whether you're, you know, red, blue, or purple, whether you're gay or straight, male or female, Christian or non-religious at all, just something to be aware of, you know, which is part of the brilliance of some elements of the Constitution, which is they didn't give us the freedom for religion. They gave us the freedom either way. And I think that's kind of a good barometer to use in terms of ownership. I don't care that you are, you know, supportive of a particular candidate that I don't agree with. What I care most about is whether or not your businesses are being used to oppress people, whether or not your perspective is being used to harm people or make things worse for people. I care about that.
Right. Donald Sterling is a perfect example.
Two of my buddies, I'm going to be real with you guys for a second. Two of my buddies are staunch Republicans. I am friends with Matthew Dowd, who helped to get George W. Bush reelected. I am also friends with Kevin Madden, who was Mitt Romney's campaign chair. We're friends. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat either, just in case you're wondering. But I'm not a Republican.
Right.
But those two individuals, when their candidates that they were working with crossed a certain line with them in terms of dignity and humanity, they were very quick to pronounce themselves as being opposed to that. In Matthew's case, he apologized for all the things that he did to prevent me from getting married, from people who are openly gay from having marriages. He apologized for that. And I'm okay with that. You know, no one's flawless. No one bats 1,000 except maybe Mookie Betts right now. So I think we need to have some grace with one another too. As long as we're not actively trying to hurt each other.
Yeah.
That's what I care about.
I'm with you, LZ, 1,000,000%. And here's the thing. I do think that while I do think that there should be certain parameters, right? Like there would be, I use the co-op example, right? to get into the club, right? Whatever the club is, the baseball club kept Mark Cuban out. But yeah, we all have friends on. I mean, I think some of us, I think people of a certain age, right, are more inclined, and we're in that group, all of us, right?
Yeah.
Where we have life experience, we've been in the game for a long time. We have families.
George, you and I are in the league.
We are in the league, yes,
in the
John.
League.
LZ's in all the leagues.
But what I think, know. What I think to LZ's point,
I'm promiscuous, Mace.
But yeah, you are. What to LZ's point, I think what we've lost is the ability to understand. And LZ, you and I talked about this yesterday. The ability to say there are going to be people that don't agree, regardless, and that's fine too. You know what I'm saying? Like that's fine too. You know, to LZ's point. Michael Reagan is a very close family friend. He's a very my wife calls him Uncle Mike. I don't agree with one thing that comes out of his mouth, but I love the guy, and we could talk about football all day and basketball and sports, and that doesn't mean that just because I vehemently disagree, that's fine. I like to use it. John, you're a movie buff. You get this, and Mace, you too, right? As I'm pretty sure you've seen The American President, yes?
Of course.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I want to live in that world.
The Michael Douglas speech, right? About
Aaron Sorkin, baby.
Yeah, ACLU, card-carrying member, right? Like, that's what it should be all about, defending the Bill of Rights. The ACLU defended some of the situations that went down in Charlotte while also defending very liberal aspects of what's going on as well. And I think that it's funny because it depends on who you talk to, right? They get characterized as extreme one way or the other. And right. It's not. They're actually the thing that's supposed to bind us together, a group that's supposed to bind us together, but no one wants to be together and no one is tolerant of other people's views. And also understanding that, hey, there's going to be certain things people are not going to be willing to compromise on. What we should be willing to compromise on is basic decency and empathy. Like, and just look, it's not that hard to be cool with each other. It shouldn't be, at least.
Right. Yeah. But I'm not compromising with my 100% humanity. And I'm not compromising with the 100% humanity of American citizens or any citizens on this planet. So my compromises are dried up when you start trying to figure out how can we continue to push laws that throw black and brown people in jail for extensive long periods of time beyond their white counterparts while still being friends. I'm drawing a line there.
Yeah. Mace, why are you and John trying to throw me and LZ in in jail? Why are you guys doing that?
I'll tell you, you're in jail.
I wasn't, but it's a good bit. Would you guys be willing to do a show from jail?
It's a good bit. Live from jail. All right.
Mason and Ireland did this to us.
That would be great. That would be a funny bit.
That is all for us. We anticipate a more normal show tomorrow. By the way, in the next couple hours, you could very well find out exactly how these NBA games are going to resume, right?
Yeah, absolutely. LZ and I, we literally just got off the phone 30 minutes ago talking about we expect the news to come down during the show. Yeah, for sure.
And then 7 o'clock tonight is Scott Kaplan. We're back tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock sharp. George and LZ are next, and standing by is Shosh with some traffic.
Checking out a problem in Orange, 55 northbound right after Catella Avenue. We've got a crash involving a motorcycle. Looks like it's in the center divider. Traffic is slow from Chapman Avenue. Coast and Mesa, 55 northbound right before Baker Street. We're getting reports of ladder debris. They're clearing that from lanes as I speak to you, so hopefully that won't cause any issues. This report sponsored by Apple News Plus. Apple News Plus has added local Los Angeles news. Now you can keep up with the latest events, politics, and culture happening in and around the LA area every day. Start your free one-month trial of Apple News Plus today inside the Apple News app. New subscribers only. Terms apply. I'm Karen Kay, 710 ESPN.